5.
We deliver your morning news right to your smartphone. Woo-hoo! Download the free Seville 107.5 app from the Google Play or iTunes Store and WCHV.com.
Everybody loves the American campfire. Don't you hear? Everybody loves the American campfire. Don't you hear it calling your name? Everybody loves the American campfire. Don't you hear it calling your name? Everybody loves the American campfire. Go ahead and fan the flame.
Joe Thomas in the morning on this Ted's Day across Central Virginia and through the free Seville 107.5 smartphone app, the world. Joining us now, I read this piece yesterday at Bering Drift, and I was going to excerpt it and read it to you. I said, no, let's just have Chris talk about it himself. Great piece on kind of a lot of what we were just talking about, independence, the economy, and the midterms. Chris Saxman from VA Free. How are you doing, sir? Welcome back. I haven't been a long time. I hope the new year is treating you well.
The new year?
I don't know. It's Japanese New Year, Chinese New Year, or something. I don't know.
It's been a while. Yeah, we should do this more often. I would enjoy that. Absolutely. Your show.
Well, we were, I know we were at a kind of a coalition of folks, analysts and pundits and commentariat a few months ago, and talked about doing this. So you took the hard work of actually pouring through poll after poll after poll, because everyone's saying Glenn Youngkin's struggling because of the polls, and the first thing you do is call the lie to what these polls are actually saying about, the government of Virginia, whether it's personal or not.
Yeah, well, there was an article, and I'm not casting aspersions on something that was written. It was sort of the thing that was left out of a column, where a columnist said that Glenn Youngkin's poll numbers were at 45%, but he failed to put in the context the fact that his negatives, his disapprovals, were 30, and that's a plus 15 favorable rating. That's really, really good. I mean, people might not be, this is a divided state. It's a red-blue divided state. It's always been a moderate state for the last, 30, 40 years. And that's where people pretty much line up. But the fact that you don't point out that his disapproval ratings are relatively low, I mean, like 30%, shows a very different worldview. But if you look at it, how it correlates over to, at the same time, Tim Kaine's ratings, it really is more about the national narrative. But what Glenn Youngkin has been able to do is keep his negatives very low.
Well, and then when you do the math, and of course, New York City public school math, that leaves a decent number of folks in that survey, ambiguous about where Virginia is, which if you listen to the hair on fire rhetoric, it's you either have to love them or hate them. Most of us are like, doing what I need to do. And they don't have an opinion one way or another.
No, they really don't. And that's not a bad thing either. It means people are going about their lives and they don't pay attention to too many stuff. That also means that they're not encumbered by government one way or the other. They're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't really have an opinion after almost a year. This is 10 months into his tenure as governor. If 75% of the people can give you an opinion and 25% doesn't, 25% says to me that he's doing okay.
Right, exactly.
It really is.
Well, and that's, as I said, in the flight of, the Louise Lucases of the world who will spare no opportunity to castigate the governor just for being not the governor she wanted to win the election, which is fine. I get it. But, at some point,
Louise is trying to win a very tight primary battle against Lionel Spruill. That's what's going on there.
Oh,
she's
23.
Taking on. Oh, it's all about her reelection to the Senate, and she has Lionel Spruill, a member of the Senate Democratic Caucus, also a member of the Black Caucus in Virginia, Democratic Black Caucus as well, and they're in a very tight primary struggle. And on paper, the district favors Lionel, so she's going about attacking the governor to introduce herself to voters who previously weren't as aware of her as they are of Lionel in that district.
And of course, as they say, yeast helps raise the dough, and that's kind of what this does, is it, whether it comes from internal or external. I did not realize that. That's one of those, I forget how many there are, but there's a good number of districts that have incumbent primaries. Because, quick thought, I don't know if we've talked about this. I actually kind of like the new district maps that these two guys drew. What is your opinion of it?
I agree with you, Joe. I think they're fair. I think they are easier to explain and to support. And I think they're more representative of what Virginia really is. And taking the artistry of drawing the districts away from legislators, I think was a good move for Virginia. You know, a lot of people were going to be, you know, shifting districts. But these districts are pretty well locked in for the next 50 years. I mean, there's not going to be that many changes. These elections next year, Joe, and your audience, will be the most important General Assembly elections for the last 50 years and for the next 50 years.
How so?
This is how important. Because these districts are permanent. There are going to be marginal changes every 10 years based on population shifts, but they're going to be a precinct here, a precinct there. These are going to be largely permanent districts that will not change. And so who's elected next year will set the political reality for that district for at least a generation.
You don't think in 9 years' time we're going to be back at another census with the General Assembly, you know, trying to draw their own districts again, or
that's what the law change did. That's what the voters decided. Mm-hmm. We want this to be this is done. These districts are done.
But do you think what I meant was, you know, the coalition of the damned that they tried to put together, the non-political group of political appointees that failed and actually turned it into the Supreme Court. Should we just suffice to say it's not going to work again in 9 years, and we should just set up, you know, two special masters and let them do it?
This is it. You're not going to be able to get away with that. It's just not going to happen. This is baked. So these districts, this is it. That's why I'm writing this as early as I am about the 23 elections and having, you know, events that are focused on the 23 elections, because people in Virginia have to understand these new districts are going to stay this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that gives citizens a lot more power in the process if they get involved and if they are proactively engaged in the political system here in Virginia. And who they nominate is extremely important. That's why all these nomination contests are gearing up. Now, on the House side for Republicans, they've pretty well worked out all of their differences. They have incumbents matched up in the same district. A lot of deals are being struck, except for two. One in Southwest Virginia between Marie March and Wren Williams, which has gotten really vociferous and loud.
Yeah.
And another one at the beach between Tim Anderson and Rob Blocks. Those are the two in the House Republican caucus that have not been worked out. The citizens will vote and decide that. The Senate Democrats, however, have a lot of fights on their hands. And that's really going to determine the direction of the Senate of Virginia and the Democratic Party of Virginia as well. Very important elections.
VAfree.org is where Chris works. It's his nonpartisan nonprofit that, you know, helps make sure businesses can go about their business in this Mother May I state of Dick Howard's creation. I keep reminding people, if you ever wonder how Virginia got this way, just understand a UVA professor wrote it. So.
The university is still running on coal?
That's right. Oh yeah, we're elbow deep in left on left crime these days here in Central Virginia, Chris. One of the other things I thought fascinating, and as a media person, since the Dobbs decision, there has been a real drumbeat towards ginning up. What had been a very low polling issue. Abortion had been in the, you know, 5-6% if you ask most people. But just the narrative twist has brought it up to this Washington Post poll that you talk about to be 22% is important heading into the midterms. Does this prove that, you know, if you say it loud enough and long enough, people will eventually say, I guess it's got to be something?
I don't know as much as that is it's going to factor into a specific group of voters who are the Democrats are trying to drive out in their favor, and they should politically. you know, that was a very important decision. It's most intense where the attacks or the dialing back on abortion rights are the most pronounced, where they're trying to do a six-week ban or a total ban. That's where you're going to see a higher spike in turnout for that issue. Here in Virginia, I don't think it plays out that intensely because we're a two-trimester state, and so it's just not that tenuous here. And that's, people have to understand that when you're looking at various segments of the electorate, there's a certain group of people who are going to show up. What the pollsters are trying to understand and model out is who can they persuade to show up and vote in their favor. And if campaigns haven't figured that out by now, 33 days out of the vote, they're in deep trouble. And with gas prices going up 20% nationally in just the last 3 weeks, that's going to be the story down the stretch here, along with crime.
You, and the economy being a cornerstone of this piece you wrote for Bearing Drift, Chris, can I hang on to you through the news? Because I want to get into that and everyone's favorite year, 2024, when it comes to the governor and maybe a little bit of his energy plan. Can we hang on to you?
Yeah, sure. Great.
No price hikes, no portion reductions. What else in your life can promise that?
I need a price check on 2 grapes.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
And I don't have to wear a mask either. Joe Thomas in the morning on this Ted's Day, visiting with Chris Saxman. VA Free is his organization, Virginia Free, vafree.org, helping businesses do their business without the need for the interloping of government and making sure that both work there a decade in the General Assembly. He knows both sides. But a great piece that we'll share out as well from Bearing Drift. Is sort of the source of us coming in here, and the economy being a big centerpiece of your column. Chris, we look at the costs, and I found it interesting. One of the great complaints about the governor's energy plan is that it relies on fossil fuels, which are getting way more expensive after we stop creating fossil fuels. So this world is we create the crisis of high gas prices and then blame anyone who says we need to make sure we have an all on the table energy plan out there. You look at the Virginia economy, most of us are 8 to 10% higher costs than everything, and none of our wages have really gone up that much. Do you see any supply side kind of end to it in the governor's plans, not just the energy ones, but how he's been administering this first year?
It's tough to get traction your first year in. I think the most significant part of the governor's plan was that'll play out, I think, politically, will be in the nuclear space. The fact that he is emphasizing nuclear and an all of the above approach is a potential game changer, because if you saw where he made his announcement on his energy plan this week, he was in Lynchburg.
Yeah.
And Lynchburg is home to a lot of nuclear power companies and their development. So I think that was potentially a game changer for Virginia's economy. It won't be realized as intensely for several years because nuclear takes a long, long time to develop. But I think that was the micro reactors, the small reactors that can be done on a broader scale,
modular.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think because if you're talking about the lower emissions, providing energy, that's certainly an option. The one that I think Europe right now is just kicking themselves for you know, shutting down their nuclear plants, and this is all part of Putin's design to dominate the West was to undermine our energy policies. He's been very effective at that in the West, in Europe and the United States in particular.
Well, you see the plan, which says, you know, we're not scrapping the Clean Economy Act, which I think a lot of the governor's supporters would have liked him to say. He says, I just want it reevaluated every now and then, which I think all of these treaties and even laws should come up for some reevaluation every now and then, not just sitting there like the Virginia Act for Sterilization that stayed on the books in Virginia from 1924 until 1988, where finally I was about to say Chris Saxman got it taken down, but Mitch Van Yeris finally got it taken down, saying, you realize we still have a law here that says we can sterilize our citizens. You think this is a good idea, guys? You know, so they should. I think laws and these kind of policy things should be reevaluated, don't you?
Absolutely. It's one of the things that Virginia doesn't do well, and legislators will tell you that. Former legislators, current legislators, former governors will tell you. What we don't do well is oversight of our executive branch, and we don't review the efficacy of the laws we just previously passed. We seem to pass all these laws, but don't go back and say, well, how do we do? You know, should we go back and revisit this? And then what happens is, to your point about government being the interloper, is that they still have to carry out the laws that were passed. And so that's not on them so much to carry out the laws in their constitutional responsibility. It's also up to the citizens and their elected officials to go back and say, was that a good idea? Are we doing it right? Should we scrap it? And I think that's a real important part of our democracy, that people underestimate their importance.
Yeah, once it's written on paper, we act like it's chiseled into granite. Chris Saxman, again, vafree.org. So your column also addresses the year 2024. And all of a sudden, Zager Evans took me over. But in the year 2024, everyone's got an opinion of Governor Youngkin's role in the presidential race. You actually said that you had been hearing people thought he would run against Tim Kaine. I appreciate you mentioning we had Jonathan Emord on the show in his investigation into this. I think it's a little early to talk about 2024, but I have said I couldn't care less whether the governor thinks he might want to run for president in 2024, because if he fails at being a governor, it doesn't make a difference. And if he is a great governor, see Florida's Ron DeSantis, certainly that makes it better for us in the state. And so he runs for president. Okay, we've had a better run executive branch for it. What is your thought on that feeling that he shouldn't even be mentioned in these lists of Republicans running for the nomination in 2024 and even the Senate race?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you can't say it's not whether he should. It's the fact that he is being mentioned, and you can't escape that. I mean, the reality is, people in politics love speculation. The night I was elected in 2001, like 36 years old, kids on stage with the wife, did this speech, get off the stage, go to the bar to get a drink. The very first question I'm asked, Joe, is what am I running for next?
Oh, gosh.
No. It gets better. The question was posed by my parish priest.
Nice.
Who was there. I mean, it's just a part of American politics.
It's just the
titillation that is politics. And you're not going to escape it, so you might as well deal with it. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think people say he should be focused on this. Well, if you're going to be president, you got to be focused on a lot of things. And if you can't balance the focus of having, basically people going out there kicking the tires, seeing what's possible and doing that, to see if that's even doable while you're being governor of Virginia, then you really shouldn't be president, because you can't handle both. Because you got to do domestic and foreign policy at all times in every state, in every country, all the time, and manage all that. If you can't manage that complex reality, that campaign, and that governance of the United States, mm-hmm. If you can't do this with both hands and hire a bunch of people to do these things for you and run it efficiently, then no, you shouldn't be president.
Right.
But I think Glenn Youngkin is doing a very good job as governor in his first year in elected politics, frankly. He's also hired a lot of great people. But to the point of which he should be exploring these things, if they are, I'm sure they'll have a top-notch team hired and funded, doing all the data work that Glenn Youngkin requires to make a good decision, which is his MO.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Glenn Youngkin does not make quick decisions. In my estimation, he makes good ones, and they're based on data.
Well, I appreciate it, Chris. What are you working on next? Oh, there I go. Now I'm doing it. But at Virginia Free, what stuff is going on before we have to run?
Well, first of all, my column is available to anyone who wants to sign up for it. It's on Substack.
Okay.
It's called The Intersection. It's the intersection of business and politics. If you want, you can sign up. You go to Substack, look up Chris Saxman. There I am. It's free. And I allow Bering Drift to republish it. And that's okay. what Glenn okay. Mitchell and the folks at Bering Drift do, and I appreciate that. What we always do is engage the business community and the political community to create a better outcome for Virginia and hopefully by extension the rest of the United States and the world. You know, we're planning events coming into the new year, and we'll be evaluating legislators and possibly endorsing in critical primaries, nomination fights, and general elections. So we're going to be very involved in the 23 cycle because it's very important for Virginia and the business community and, you know, our economy.
Well, I appreciate everything you do there. Chris, thanks. It's great to catch up. And, yeah, it won't be so long in between, okay?
It won't. Please. We can do this whenever you want, regular basis.
Thank you, Chris Saxman, VirginiaVAFree.org.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Really?
Oh, well, where are you?
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.